Dig It, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glon and Plan-les-Ouates. Shillaga, let your inspiration grow.
It is time for Shillaga's Garden Centre's Dig It. Oh, hang on a minute. It is time for Dig It, brought to you by Shillaga Garden Centre. My goodness, we've got some great prizes. That's why I'm getting confused. Looking at these lovely prizes from Shillaga Garden Centre, a whole array of tools that we've got to give away. And, well, I would say, most importantly, Hester McDonald is answering all of our gardening questions this morning. So Hester's here. Hester, what's our topic for today?
We are trying to get ahead in the garden. We're trying to do a bit of planning, a bit of seed choice making, a bit of cleaning of tools, all kinds of useful things to help you get ahead in the garden so that when you get to March and April and the weather's lovely, you don't think, oh, I needed to have done this months ago. So this is how to guide you gently into your gardening year.
Right. These are some of the things that we can do to sort of prepare and make life easier later.
Exactly. Things like going to treat yourself to some nice new tools because you've either lost them or they've gone rusty or whatever, or you lost them in the last move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All of that kind of stuff. Like what we'll go through what I think are the essentials, things that I think you need to buy and where you need to get them from and good quality ones and things like that.
It's an overview of the essentials for this year. So stay tuned. We also have our giveaway from Shillaga Garden Centre. Thanks to them for some essential tools. We'll also be answering your gardening questions. You can send them in studio@worldradio.ch. As Hester is live with me now, we can hopefully get through to as many of them as possible. Stay with us. You're listening to WRS.
Dig It, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glon and Plan-les-Ouates. Shillaga, let your inspiration grow.
Hester, can you tell us a little bit about the prize that we have to give away? You know the names of the tools, I believe, better than, oh, that's one with a wooden handle. That's one that will probably turn some soil over. I know the word trowel.
Yeah, we've got a trowel. We have a nice broad trowel. We've got a narrow one as well, which is more useful for planting smaller seeds or for smaller bulbs. We have a rake, a mini hand rake, which actually is very useful, particularly if, like me, you garden on raised beds. Absolutely fantastic. And we have a lightweight rake, and we have a thing that you use for digging up weeds, a weeder, I guess we would call it.
Great.
Yeah, a weeder.
I'd like that you've broken that down into my language of things that we would use to dig up the weeds. Thanks. That's very practical of you. I think I know what that does now.
Does it? Yeah.
That's what we've got to give up. They're all rather lovely little wooden handles from Shillaga Garden Centre. We're going to ask you quite simply, name one thing that you want to do in the garden or on your balcony or involving your pot plants. One thing that you want to do this year. Let's set some goals. Send in your answer. You go into the draw for those lovely tools courtesy of Shillaga Garden Centre. And all you need to do, send in that answer, studio@worldradio.ch or 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS. Just name one goal that you have for your garden or pot plants this year.
Shillaga, let your inspiration grow.
Time to look ahead at the garden. It's Dig It. And that's exactly our theme. It's planning ahead, getting ready to prepare for this year. And Hester is going to help us out because I am not your pro in this subject at all. Just come and look at my garden mess. So, Hester, help us out. What are the very, very first steps that you would make when you look at planning a garden?
So I would actually say, think about our question for our prize today. What are your objectives? What do you want to do in the garden this year? You start thinking. So what? Make a list. Maybe it might be that you want to do something boring like replace a dead section in the hedge. It's not very sexy, but you need to do it. So that means thinking about, do you want it to be the same plant that's already in the hedge? How big do you want them to be? Do you have to have them removed? In which case, start talking to a landscaper, a paysagist or a gardener now to get a quote for it. All of that kind of stuff needs to be thought about, and now is exactly the right time to do it. Do you want to do something a bit more entertaining? Do you want to rethink a border? Do you want to add a border? Do you want to grow something new to eat that you've never tried before? Are your kids old enough now to get involved with gardening? Are they old enough to say, oh, I'd like to grow this thing? Would you like to, as I spoke to a client about this week, stop the dog running around the edge of the lawn and making a racetrack? How are you going to plan to do that? Are there any gaps in the flowering time? So, for example, is your garden fabulous in June and July but actually kind of boring in January, in which case what are you going to do about it? And then I would say start by also drawing a plan of your garden.
So what you're saying is that we're starting off, as we start most things off, with a sort of list of what we'd actually like to accomplish. We're not even starting by getting into the garden and getting our hands dirty. It really does start with a pen and paper and working out what our goals and objectives are for this year. How do you choose, though, if everything that you have said there sounds like a great idea, yes to putting the hedge in, yes to fixing the dead stuff, yes to planting some stuff, yes to growing stuff I can eat, how do you choose when there are just so many different things that you can do?
I would go for a top three. And that might be, are there a lot of restrictions on one of them and it's actually going to take months to do it? So say it's a hedge that actually is owned by you and your neighbours, and you and your neighbours need to negotiate this. Mm. Well, that might be on your list, and you need to, but you might say to yourself, well, it's not actually my top three. It's too difficult to be in my top three, but I'm going to keep it in my top five and let it kind of rumble along. But actually, the thing that really floats my boat is finding a new variety of strawberry. That's going to be in my top three. There may also be things like, is it going to be expensive? Like, is your family budget going to stretch to this year?
Oh.
And if it's not, then it needs to go on the list for next year.
Yeah.
Or the year after.
Absolutely.
And that's okay. Gardens can always wait. That's a great thing about them. Rarely is it urgent that you need to do this year.
Oh, Hester, this is so practical. I like this a lot, just looking at these very realistic goals. This is a thing we always have. Oh, I certainly do. I follow a lot of pages on Instagram that have beautiful gardens. I think that I want that, and I want that this year. But actually, it's going to be a work in progress.
Absolutely is. And actually, I mean, I love Instagram and I love things like that to give people inspiration and excitement. What you need to remember is that garden has been taken in that photo to look good right then.
Mm, and we don't see the progress of it.
No, it might look
like
terrible
the
following month.
Yeah, it's true. What about cleaning?
Well, do you know, it's boring, but it's really necessary. So, and it means everything. It means all of your tools. It means all of your pots. It means all of your growing media. Have a look at it. And if you think it's looking a little bit dubious, and that includes, you know, bags of compost. If you have a bag of compost that's left over from last year, you know, I think I would just put it in the garden. Just put
it
on the borders,
there.
Put it in a compost bin and let it be recomposted and heated up again.
Oh, interesting. So it's not going to last.
You know, it's been open, it's probably dried out a lot, if there's been wetting ingredients in it, or equally, you know, there may be all sorts of little bugs in there that you don't really want to be using in your precious new seeds.
If you are new to gardening, one of the great things to do at the moment is to get yourself some new tools. We are here to help you. We've got a whole selection of five different beginner tools from Shillinger Garden Centre that they have kindly offered us for this show to give away. If you want to get into the draw for that, I'm asking you to tell us about some of your goals for this year, things that you would like to achieve. So when we talk about making that list of your top three, what are the things that you want to do? Hester, I'm just going to read a couple out for you. Karen has said, we'd like to add our raised beds this year and use the chop and drop method to ease the amount of work.
That's a great idea.
I mean, if it sounds easy, is that just where you sort of chop things and then leave them on the ground?
Yeah.
You don't bother.
Yeah.
No trips to the tip.
No trips to the tip.
Leave
we
it.
We like no trips to the tip.
Eileen has said, my goal is to prevent my hubby from growing potatoes. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of him cussing when the Colorado beetles arrive in droves, says Eileen.
Yeah, I would say skip it for at least 2 years.
Really?
Definitely, yeah. You want the Colorado beetles to forget you even exist.
Okay, well, looks like you're going to have to take some time off. Thanks very much. Keep them coming in. What do you want to achieve this year? You're going to the draw for that little set of five tools from Shillinger Garden Centre, beginner hand tools to get you started, get you going this year.
Dig It, sponsored by Shillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shillinger, let your inspiration grow.
Whether you win our goodies today or not, this little tool set from Shillinger Garden Centre, Hester is here to explain why these tools are a very essential group of tools. I have to say, I don't have all of these. I've got a few. I've got a little trowel, but I don't have the different sizes of trowels. So can you talk us through why this is your recommendation, your kind of beginner set, Hester?
So I would say for the two different sizes of trowel, it kind of depends what you're digging or you're digging up. I'm a terrible hand digger, as in I use my hands a lot, and I have quite stony soil.
She's got clean fingernails.
I do today. They're very short for a reason. I like having two different sorts of trowel to be able to get in. So the narrow one's great if you're digging in round other plants.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've got a pot and it's already actually quite established and you want to put in some bulbs, for example, you need a narrow one to get in there because the big, broader trowel would dig up all of your plants accidentally, and that's mm-hmm. not very helpful.
I see that now.
Yes, that's useful. The little rake is great for smoothing out what are called seed beds. So if you're doing outside, so I have raised beds where I put in a lot of my seeds, but I don't want to do like the whole length of it necessarily. So it's great just to be able to do a couple of little sections.
Yeah.
So you can smooth out the soil so you get your fine tilth, which is what you're after. This is nice, fine, crumbly soil structure that you want. And it's really helpful for that. The little rake is very useful for digging up little weeds as well.
Okay.
So if you're
and then there's sort of a little tool that looks a bit like a pickaxe, but like a miniature version.
That's for getting weeds out, for stubborn weeds, for things that have got quite long tap roots. It's absolutely brilliant. It's also very, very useful for going if you're trying to go weeding between cracks in a path or something like that. It's really helpful.
Great little selection. That's it for tools that we should maybe get our hands on this month. But what about plants that we should be buying this month?
Well, I would try and get some stuff that's flowering right now. Because the bees are popping out on the occasional nice day. Bees are out and about. They're starting to leave their hives, particularly solitary bees who are coming out of their little holes in the ground and looking around for food. And anything that's got nectar and pollen in it is really, really useful. So I would look for something like hellebores, which are these beautiful... They often have white flowers, but there's lots of different colours as well, pinks and purples and things like that. But go for the most simple ones where the nectar is easily accessible by the bees, which basically means open, flattish flowers, not the multiple petal ones where the nectar is difficult to get to. Or something like heather, early flowering heather, the purples or the pinks. Brilliant because there's loads of nectar in those and it will provide really, really useful food for bees right now.
Excellent. We also get lots of questions about bees. So maybe we should be looking at doing a show all about the plants
all
that
about
the
bees
love.
I love that idea. It's a great idea.
Later on this year. Let us know if you would like us to do that. We can do a whole show about your favourite pollinators. So we can have a look at doing something like that a little later this year. Any other kind of plants that we should be looking for? Anything else that we should be looking at doing right now?
So I would say I would start thinking about alternatives to plastic.
Oh, all the time. Yes.
Yeah. And that might be starting to save things like egg boxes or loo rolls or kitchen paper rolls, because you can use them for seeds later on.
Oh.
And I would also maybe go completely crazy and invest in a pot maker, which is a little wooden, looks like a kind of a squeezer, an old-fashioned squeezer for lemons, but it's got a little pot that sits on top of it, a little wooden pot that sits on top of it, and you wrap newspaper round it and twist the middle of it, and ta-da, you've got a little pot.
You can really take out the need for a plastic pot completely.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there are some really good ways to get creative.
Start collecting your cardboard.
We're asking you today to go into the drawer for these tools that we've got. What do you want to do this year in the garden? Christine says, my goal is to start a garden for the first time in 20 years. I've got a tiny plot of land when I move into my new house. Hopefully I'll get some veggies going, maybe some raspberry bushes along the fence.
Oh, that's lovely. What a great idea. That's so exciting.
It is exciting to have it for the first time in a long time. Sue says, my aim for this year is to reproduce the bumper crop of red chilies I had last year. I replaced the geraniums on the windowsill for chili plants. They grow beautifully because it's under the direct sun. Very nice. And then Elizabeth says, I'm going to mostly work on my lawn this spring. I'm seriously thinking about using something like wood chips or gravel to define a kind of racetrack for my dog. Wait for it.
Racetrack for dog.
And reduce the muddy footprints across my apartment. What do you think? Because she has said, I was going to write to you about wanting to train a new climbing rose up an old fence. We might get to that in listener questions in around 10 minutes. But then you said, Hester, you started talking about the doggy racetrack earlier, and she was thinking about the edge of her garden and the mess that is her patch of lawn. Stay tuned. We've got we'll be talking more about the dogs in the garden and the racetrack coming up with some listener questions after the Swiss news. Tell us, though, what do you want to achieve in your garden this year? Hester, what do you want to achieve in your garden
this year? I'm going to replace one of my raised beds. It's collapsed.
Oh. Okay.
And I need to get a new one, but it means taking all of the plants out and taking the whole thing down. So it does require me asking a gardener to help me because it's too much for me.
Right. Okay. Need some help in there. And there's nothing wrong with asking for a bit of help when it all gets too much. Keep those questions coming in.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
We had a question that's come in from Ted about his dog. My dog started doing laps around the edge of our lawn and has worn a muddy path around it. Is there anything I can do to stop him? And how do I repair the grass? Elizabeth has also chimed in and said, I want to know the answer to that too. What can we do, Hester?
So I'd say it's probably a multi-pronged approach to this. So the reason your dog starts doing laps is probably because he's bored or she is bored. And it might be that they're being there's a stimulation outside the garden. It might be there's a new dog that's moved in and is barking at them and they're running around, or it could be something as simple as you've put a new piece of kids' play equipment, which also sometimes happens, and the kids are playing on the equipment in the middle of the lawn and the dog knows it's not allowed to go and play with the kids and it's trying to join in and is doing laps around it. So it might be something as simple as getting some new toys for your dog to play with outside. It might be one of the Kongs which have food hidden in it and the dog needs to play with it to let the food out in little tiny amounts. That is a great distraction. It might be something as simple as that. It might be that the dog wants somewhere to sit comfortably in the garden, and that might mean planting a bush somewhere where the dog can lie comfortably underneath it. What you'll need to do though to replace or to repair the lawn is to keep the dog off it, and that's quite difficult.
Oh yes.
So it might mean a little bit of temporary fencing and maybe you replace it in little sections, or it might be something as simply as you decide, okay, fine, well, this is going to stay as a racetrack, we're going to put wood chip down instead and just admit that the dog's going to run around it.
You're a dog owner, aren't you? Or yeah. Shall I say a dog parent? I can't say owner anymore.
I don't think the dog would agree to me being its parent. I think he would not be happy with that at all. Yes, I'm a dog owner, but our garden has quite, let's say, porous boundaries in one section. So he kind of comes and goes along the riverbank as he wishes. So he doesn't tend to run round it.
It sounds like the idea is essentially give up and accept that this is going to be the racetrack, or it's going to have to be like done in patches that you can keep the dog off.
Yeah, absolutely. And distract your dog.
And
dog
enrichment.
Yeah, make your garden more interesting for the dog.
We've got Sean who said, I'd like to grow some more wildlife-friendly plants like teasels?
Teasels are kind of very tall, spiky plants. They're very beautiful when they're in flower. They have these lovely purpley flowers that flower up them. And actually, teasels were used for literally teasing wood, for combing wool.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. Yeah. Also, Sean goes on to say clover and buttercups. Yeah. Our gardener says they're going to take over the whole garden, and he's quite reluctant, or she is quite reluctant, to try. Is this right?
I'd say yes. If you never, ever, ever did anything to your garden for the next 10 years, they would eventually take over your garden. But if you decide you're going to have them in one section, then that's absolutely fine. And I would say let a section of your garden be wild. And it might be that you want to introduce some clover or some buttercups, or even sow some teasels, which is a great idea, because they not only are they great food for bees and butterflies in the summer, but they're also food for goldfinches in the winter as well. And you can attract goldfinches into your garden with them, which is really amazing.
Barbara has asked a question. What has made holes in my cabbages? My neighbour thinks it's pigeons. I've never seen a pigeon in my garden. What particularly likes cabbages?
Well, all sorts of things really like cabbages. And it might actually be holes that were made months ago by little caterpillars, which have long since hatched out into beautiful butterflies and flown away. So I'd have a little look to check there's no caterpillars. I would be very, very surprised if there were any caterpillars alive inside in your cabbages right now, because it's the winter and it's just not their life cycle. Pigeons do love cabbages, it's true, but they tend to totally shred them. You wouldn't have any cabbage left. You'd have the odd little leaf. You'd have no proper cabbage left.
Oh, check those cabbages very well before eating, before cooking even. Check them. I'm going to run through some listener comments. So if you've written in, I'm asking the question today, what are your goals for 2022 in your garden? You'll go into the draw for these lovely tools from Shilliger Garden Centre. And so let's see if we've got any questions in amongst the comments as well. Susie says, Always a joy to listen to you, Hester. It'd be lovely to have a show all about pollinators and bees. Let us know when. So she's got three objectives for her garden this year. Plant loads of kale, plant more bee-friendly plants and flowers, lots of flowers for the grandkids to pick, and plant out my cuttings of goji and aronia bushes.
Oh, how many cuttings have you got? Any spares?
I think Hester's very interested. Please. Karen also would love a show all about bees and about pollinators. She's also called herself the compost queen. And Sarah says, I'm planning to introduce more bee friendly flowers and herbs. It sounds like you really want to show all about bee friendly herbs.
We might have to do that.
Okay, so keep them coming in. The things that you want to do this year in the garden to go into the drawer for those tools. Looks like I've got one question. Paula, who says, can I start planting my seeds indoors now? I don't have any special lamps, but I do have a sunny windowsill. I would like to get my chili seeds going, as they were late last year and they didn't crop well. Can she do it? Can she get the chili going?
It really depends on the light levels, because what happens if you plant them too early, they tend to be very kind of floppy and pathetic, and they're prone to what's called damping off. I'd say if you've got loads of seeds, if they're not super precious, give it a go. And if they survive into beautiful chili plants, well, hooray. And if they all die, well, do it again in a couple of weeks when the light levels are better.
Keep going. In fact, this year might be the year to test it. You need to mark the pots and say, these are the ones that I planted on the 2nd of February.
Do them a week apart and see what happens.
Do that. Oh, we want to know the results. We want the pictures as well when they start coming
through.
Yeah,
scientific experiment. Yes, please.
Let's do it. All right, I hope that helps. Hester, thanks for coming in for Dig It. If anyone would like to listen to this again or any of the other shows that we have done, you can find them on our website, worldradio.ch/digit. They'll be up there. Thanks, Hester.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
This episode of Dig It was recorded at the WRS studios in Geneva, Switzerland, and brought to you by Shilliger Garden Centre. The competition in this podcast is now closed, but the prize we mention is available at Shilliger, so check them out. If you have gardening questions for our next episode, send them in to studio@worldradio.ch.